Hey, all right. And welcome to Better Yet. I'm Tim Crisp, your host. Better Yet is a conversation that started in 2016, and it's a conversation that continues this week with my guest, Lizzie Killian of Teens in Trouble. Teens in Trouble released their first LP, What's Mine, on Asian Man Records. One of my favorite records of 2024 so far. Lizzie and I had such a great time chatting. Excited to share that with you this week. Excited to be back. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing on your podcast player of choice. Visit our website, betteryetpod.com, and check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@betteryetpod. I'm drinking that Dagger Mountain coffee. DaggerMountain.com. Follow them on Instagram at DaggerMTNCoffee, my favorite coffee roaster in the U.S. of A, right here in Valparaiso, Indiana, the home of Better Yet. Since 2020, I'm drinking a banging Finca Medina from Guatemala. Lovely washed coffee with tasting notes of glazed donut, apricot, and pink lady apples. How we doing, bubbas? I'm so excited to have Lizzie Killian on the podcast. Our first episode of 2024 will be entering our ninth year of this podcast. Things are good here. Our dogs, Lily and Hadley, are still the sweetest girls. Been watching movies pretty actively this year. You can follow me on Letterboxd at TIMDB. And my band Dryer has started recording our first release. More on that to come. It's been a fun 2024 so far. There's a new Alkaline Trio album out. David Anthony and I are back at it on As You Were, a podcast about Alkaline Trio. We're a little over halfway through the new trio album, Blood, Hair, and Eyeballs. Having fun this year, and we've got some great interviews lined up for this coming season of Better Yet. We'll be releasing new episodes every other Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening. All right, my guest this week is Lizzie Killian from Teens in Trouble. Teens in Trouble is a band from the Bay Area that started in 2015 when they released their first single, Santa Monica. Then a few years went by, and then a few more years. Lizzie moved out to Raleigh, North Carolina, thinking maybe she was done with music. But then during the pandemic, she rekindled that passion, started writing songs again, and put the band back together, this time bringing in collaborators like Randy Moore from Get Married and the great Mike Huguenor from Hard Girls and Jeff Rosenstock's band. And this new version of Teens in Trouble has been on fire, starting with a self-titled EP, a split with Desert Mambas, and a brand new LP called What's Mine, out now on Asian Man Records, our friend Mike Park. We got 10 songs of fuzzy, passionate indie rock. I was really excited to talk to Lizzie. I found so much of her story affecting. I love this record, and we had a great time talking. Happy to share it with you this week. Big shout out to our friend Jamie Coletta of No Earbuds for linking us up. We will see you back here in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening and subscribing to Better Yet. Here's me and Lizzie Killian. Mike Huguenor.
Oh, I love Mike. He is such a good human.
Yeah. I just remember hearing those Shinobu records and those Heart Girls records, and I was like,
yeah,
this dude, not only is he just a wizard on the guitar, but he's just so thoughtful and so smart sounding. I just want to talk to him.
Yeah.
So you're coming to us from Raleigh, North Carolina, right?
Yeah, I'm in Raleigh. I moved here in 2019, like 6 months before the pandemic started.
Uh-huh. Perfect timing.
I got to see like a little bit of Raleigh and then the inside of my house for a very long time.
Yeah, right. You like it out there?
Yeah, I'm from the Bay Area, San Francisco mostly. And I like having seasons out here in Raleigh. Like right now, it's getting to be sort of peak spring, and it's like I could go out in a t-shirt, which is almost never the case in the Bay Area.
Right. You always have to have a layer, extra layer in San Francisco.
Definitely more sunshine. I grew up in a very foggy area as well. So I just, you know, I realize how much like sunlight is actually important to me.
Uh-huh. So now Teens in Trouble is based out west. Do you play music with anyone locally?
It's kind of complicated right now, I'd say. So Teens in Trouble started as my solo project.
Uh-huh.
And so like the very first single I put out as Teens in Trouble was in 2015 with completely different
whole different cast of players.
Yeah,
Santa
exactly.
Monica. We'll get there. Uh-huh.
The studio musicians for the most recent releases are based on the West Coast. And when I moved to Raleigh and started playing these songs live, I have played with some folks out here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something different about playing the songs with the people that you wrote with. And I feel like this most recent album, you know, we definitely started working on it more together versus when we put together the debut EP. There was less organic sort of writing together,
So I guess my question was a little bit more in terms of like, have you met any friends out there to play music with? Because I moved from Chicago to Valparaiso, Indiana in 2020, and I don't like have local homies to hang out with because I'm in my 30s. Like, it's just not the same.
I have some friends out here. I mean, I do like the people that I played with out here, and I've got to meet so many different bands out here as well. It's hard to say, like, I don't know. It's different when it's like you only see each other at shows.
Right.
We don't really hang out too much outside of that. But when I moved here, and this is sort of a funny story in hindsight, but like I was really excited to just like, you know, start new and, you know, try. I'd been in California for my whole life until this point. So just trying to, you know, just start with a fresh new canvas. And so I hadn't been playing music the last few years I was in California, but when I moved here, I was looking at Craigslist for like any band. And there's one ad that stood out among all of them. And it was from this drummer based in Durham who was looking for a new project to start. And he had a lot of similar interests in music. Like he listed Talking Heads, he listed Mitski, and I was like, oh, that's a interesting mix of artists. And we got together and I had to tell my husband, like, hey, I'm gonna meet this guy from Craigslist. Here's his address in case I don't come back home. But he turned out to be super nice. He's still a really good friend of mine. And we do hang out like outside
of
shows.
Yeah.
He's still in this band that we started together with this other guy, Ryan, a song called Blab School, and they're actually putting out their debut album in the summer. So, you know, I had to leave that band because I was like, they wanted to start touring and then Teens in Trouble was touring. I was like, I can't do both right now.
Yeah. Like, I just decided to get back into this, like, full tilt. I can't do it for two projects.
Oh, yeah. Just being on the road for one band is hard. I have lots of friends who are in multiple projects and on the road all the time. Like, I still have a job. I mean, that's great that that's their job and that's like the dream, I feel like, but I still have my day job.
Yeah. So you grew up in San Francisco, you said, in the Bay Area?
Yeah. Born and raised in San Francisco. And then when I started high school, my parents moved to a small suburb south of San Francisco called Daly City. They're still there. And I tend to visit California often. So when I do go see my friends who recorded on this album, it's always like, oh, well, I guess I'll see my parents too.
Was there music in the house when you were growing up?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of it. My parents aren't really musicians. Like, my dad's a casual guitar player, but there was a point in time where I had to like help him tune his guitar before him, but now he knows. But they are big music lovers, and like they were always listening to music when I was growing up. And
they rockers? What kind of stuff were they listening to?
A lot of Motown.
Oh, nice.
My dad was also into classic rock, a lot of Eagles. I'm not an Eagles fan, but I just remember there was a lot of Eagles in the house. Both of them listened to Elton John. Oddly, like, I feel like they're mostly... they like a lot of popular music, but I remember my dad had this cassette tape for Black Sabbath, which seemed totally out of place for everything else, from everything else he had. So I feel like my dad's a secret rocker.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two younger siblings, and I think they're all over. They're pretty spread now. One's still in the Bay Area, and one is in Europe right now.
Oh, wow.
But we all grew up playing music. My parents put us through music lessons, and
you sound like you had a great time. Would you play piano?
Yeah, we all played piano, and then I eventually wanted to play guitar after listening to my first favorite like rock bands that weren't my dad's.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and, like Green Day, Weezer.
It started with Blink 182.
Hell yeah.
Day, some No Doubt. And then like once I started high school, it started going more emo towards like the Get Up Kids and Jimmy World. My middle sister ended up taking up bass, and at some point I thought like we were going to start a band together, but that never happened, sadly. And she sold her bass, and she's like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Did you get along, or were you like the older sister tyrant?
a little bit of column A and a little bit of column
sure.
B. I think actually my upbringing was pretty hard, and all of this is sort of like in hindsight. My parents and I didn't really get along growing up, and especially they immigrated to America from the Philippines. So, you know, being in a new country, having your first kid, and like trying to navigate all these different things, I just felt like we clashed a lot because I wanted to just have fun and, you know, hang out with friends, and they were very overprotective. And once I got in my teenage years, we butted heads even more. And like right before I even graduated high school, I moved out, and then they cut me off because they were so upset.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, so I had to sort of like be on my own for a while and just try to survive on my own. And there's like one point where I was working three jobs and trying to go to school, and then I was in a band, and so I think that's why I'm like so I feel like I'm getting back into music a little bit later, where like the previous years, even though I was in bands here and there, they've always been sort of like on the back burner, and work always took priority. And I could never really like fully commit to being in a music project.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I think about that, sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I'd like be in a more active band like much earlier, but you know.
Sure. If you
everyone
were going,
has a different
if
journey.
You were going full tilt at 19, yeah. Like who knows what might have happened.
Yeah, but I feel like all the stuff that I've written now, and like the album that I put out, all of that is just sort of a culmination of like this whole journey I made to it. So You know, I'm happy with how that turned out. But yeah, I mean, like, long, not to like dive too deep into family history, like my parents and I get along now that yeah. they realize that I'm an adult that can take care of myself.
Right. Totally. And like, you didn't, you know, end up on the streets because yeah. you decided to play guitar instead of go to college
yeah, right.
right away.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. And they must get a kick out of the fact now that you're like going back to like their territory to make your records while yeah, you're like yeah. maintaining your adulthood out east.
Yeah. Yeah. They're always trying to like get me to stay with them when I visit. And like, I can't really do that when I'm like in recording mode. Cause mm-hmm. then, it's just like a whole different mindset. And I just need to have like as clear, and as much like of a non-friction kind of environment.
Right, sure. Uh-huh. You can't come home at 3 because yeah. you are mixing late.
Yeah.
Getting the right tone on the glockenspiel.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So, you got a guitar. Were you writing songs right away? Was like that part of the guitar fascination was writing songs?
When I started playing guitar, I was teaching myself in the 8th grade, and I would like read tabs online mm-hmm. and just play Blink 182 songs and Green Day songs and Weezer songs. And, you know, the first band I joined in high school was like, you know, a bunch of friends who covered mm-hmm. Weezer songs and yeah. Green Day songs and would play it at our high school. And, you know, that's sort of like the way it starts. And but I don't think I was writing songs quite yet, but I was writing a lot of poetry, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I've always been sort of a writer growing up, just because, again, with like sort of an immigrant household, there wasn't really a lot of communication between mm-hmm. me and my family in any sort of like meaningful way. So writing in journals was always a big outlet for me to
yeah.
process thoughts and emotions. And then I would try to like maybe write poems to, mm-hmm. you know, sort all that out. And I forget, like, I don't even know what my first song is, to be honest.
Yeah.
But like, eventually it just went hand in hand where it's like, I'd write these lyrics and then I'd have a guitar part and then try to like put them together. And mm-hmm. my first band where I started writing original music was in my senior year of high school, I think.
Okay. Was that Sputterdoll?
No, it was right before Sputterdoll. It was
okay.
This band called the Amplifidelics, terrible name. Thankfully there's nothing online about us. This was like in the Angel Fire days.
Yeah.
But you know, we played some shows around our high school to start, and then we started like doing battle the bands in other high schools. And then I don't know how it happened. I think I was online a lot, and I remember finding gigs on Craigslist. Like Craigslist, I feel, is like the connective tissue between like all these different music opportunities. But I remember finding a gig that was looking for other bands to play, and like we ended up playing our first 21 and Up gig, but we had to wait outside
yeah.
before we could play.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's also how we met Sputterdoll. And we ended up playing a show or two with them. And when Sputterdoll's their lead guitarist joined the military, they were looking for another guitarist. And so I joined, and that's how I ended up in Sputterdoll.
I was reading your Talkhouse conversation with Mike Park, and you said that Sputterdoll's all Asian American members. Was the scene that you were in pretty diverse, or was that like an anomaly? You just happened to find these people with similar backgrounds?
I think to me it was an anomaly at the time, because uh-huh. I was like, whoa, like, you mean there can be
yeah,
people
right?
like me playing uh-huh. in bands like this? And when I joined them and started playing shows with them, I realized there is a big community in the Bay Area of Asian American rockers, and that's how I met Shinobu too. They have John Fu, who is on drums, mm-hmm. and so Mike Huguenot and I have known each other since I was in high school when Sputterdoll and Shinobu was playing. So to like have that, and then fast forward to many years later, where we're, you know, mm-hmm. Recording new songs together. It's just really cool to sort of have everything come full circle in a way.
Yeah. Did Sputterdoll tour? Like you all were like right in that era where before everything was like online. So I tried to research.
No, please don't. We did tour. But we were mostly, because we were in the Bay Area, limited to like playing in the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I know before I joined, they had done a handful of touring too, but I think they had not left the West Coast. But yeah, that was like my first taste of like being on the road. It was super fun. But I think I was only in that band for maybe, what year was this? This was a couple of years. I was like maybe in the band for 2 years. And then I was like, I think I need to go back to school
ground yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Cause it was at that time where I was just like supporting myself and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life and I need to make my rent and that kind of thing. And so I quit the band for a little bit and they kept going and replaced me with another friend of ours. It's this whole like small world because we played with this other band called Tensegrity 9 that had a member named Matt Payne. And we played a show with them and that's how they met him. And so he replaced me.
Yeah.
And then I was really missing music and I was like, can I join the band again? And they didn't kick out Matt, so he ended up playing keyboards, and then I joined. So it turned into this, like, four-piece, like, sort of Ramones-style punk band into... I don't even know what to call what we were after, but we played shows for a few more years after that. And then Matt and I started a band called The Glowing Stars maybe a few years after that. And that was sort of like a chiptune punk duo.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything about The Glowing Stars.
Yeah. We also sort of like stayed on the West Coast, played a lot of shows around the Bay Area, and then did like one West Coast tour from like SoCal to Seattle.
Where'd you go to college?
That's a complicated question. So I was a student at City College of San Francisco for 12 years, on and off.
Dude, fuck, as yes! You do. Oh, man, that's a dream.
And then I finally finished school in, like, 2015 at the ripe age of 30. With a degree in marketing, because I was like, fuck it. I'm like, I'm not trying to like prove anything to anybody other than like.
Just give me a fucking desk job at this point, right?
Well, at that point, I had already been like deep into my career. I had been working in the games industry for like a little over 5 years at that
point. What do you mean the games industry?
My day job is in video games.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So see, I do nothing PR. About video games, but I respect because I'm into, you know, my own shit. I just have ADHD, and if I can't beat something, I hate it. So it's just never worked out for me.
You know, it's a common feeling. I feel the same way. That's why I only play like two games.
Now you've had some Teens in Trouble songs. Are they in Fortnite, right?
I'm Not Worried. Was on Fortnite Radio for a bit, and then so was Decomposing.
That's fucking awesome. Do you get a lot of fans from that?
Well, if you look at the I'm Not Worried YouTube video, all the comments were like, found this on Fortnite,
fuck,
which is really
cool. That rocks.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's always like that. it's always interesting to see like who actually sticks from something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's still some fans that like have stuck with us through finding us on Fortnite. So that's been really cool to see.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so cool. So it's funny because you said, what'd you say? You graduated in 2015 and Santa Monica comes out in 2015. I love this.
Oh yeah,
like,
it was like a
this relationship that you
me.
Have with with like, you know, like getting back into making music again. Because that's what that song was, right?
Yeah, and that 2015, good year.
Yeah.
I got laid off from my job for the first time. And like that was actually a blessing in disguise because after spending so much time like overworking and just trying to make ends meet, and then slowly, you know, building up my career to a point where I get laid off. And I'm just kidding. to a point where like by that point I was already in sort of like a senior position, but it was just one of these companies that is notorious for laying people off. Mm-hmm. And I was one of them, but got a decent severance from it. So I didn't have to look for a job right away. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to spend this time to like reconnect with myself and like figure out what exactly I want to do. I want to try to finish school. I mm-hmm. want to like get back into music. And maybe I'll do like some freelance work on the side while I figure it out. And so, yeah, did all those things, started Teens in Trouble, got my degree. And then I, put out Santa Monica.
I love that song, by the way. And it like, it makes so much sense too with like what's going on in your life, because there's like this wanting to get back to a place.
Yeah.
And it's such a sunny song, but it's also got like a great sadness to it.
Yeah, I was listening to a lot of Beach Boys and Best Coast at the
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's still a, like, I feel like there's like Weezer, especially Pinkerton was such a significant album for me. Like listening to it at 16 being like, whoa, you can make music like this.
Yeah.
Where
you can
like,
put all the best songs at the end.
Like, yeah. where it's just like super raw and vulnerable and like all the guitars sound awesome. And yeah, so I feel like that sort of influence is still woven into all the songs I write even now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Santa Monica, that was about the time I lived in Santa Monica for 2 years. But I feel like it's also because I used that as sort of like my first song getting back into music. I think what you're saying also resonates where it's like it is sort of like a coming, like a longingness to go back to some like a good place.
Were you hoping that like, you know, you record this and maybe kickstart creativity or just like being in a band full time?
Yeah, I kind of was. And like I was trying, I think one thing that was hard was like I didn't have a live band.
Mm-hmm.
And so shortly after that song came out, like we got some offers to play shows locally, but I was like, we only have this one song and I don't have a band, so maybe I'll call you back later.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so funny.
But then so we just never played shows, and shortly after, like maybe less than a year later, I got a full-time job again and then started working, and then that sort of just like was back on the back burner, and I was focused on work. And
this is the thing that happens in your 30s too, where it's just like years just like, fucking go by.
Yeah, it sucks. And that's why I feel like a lot of the songs on a new album are all about time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like it's something that I sort of like almost unhealthily obsess about, trying to get better at it, trying to you know, feel okay about like if I spent 2 hours laying down, that's okay.
It's totally okay.
Totally okay. But yeah, and so like with my brain back in sort of like this work mode full time, I was still trying to write songs, but like nothing good was coming out. And like, I felt like nothing was inspiring to me. And like a lot of my work in PR is writing just like dry press releases, like very factual, like here's all the information you need to know about this thing.
Yeah.
And so when I try to like switch gears in my brain to like, okay, now I'm going to try to write something a little more creative, like nothing was coming out. And I think there was a point in like 2017 where I was like, well, maybe that's it.
Yeah,
like
sure.
I don't have a single creative bone in my body, and that's depressing. Mm-hmm. And so I just like stopped thinking about it for a while and stopped thinking about like what if or maybe until the pandemic. The pandemic sort of like helped move things along, but it wasn't until I moved to North Carolina and just sort of had like a clean slate to just like maybe change my the way I approach things or think about things. And so like when I joined that band Blab School, when I moved to North Carolina, that was sort of like, oh yes, I get to like play shows. I don't have to write all these songs. I can just like focus on playing and just like enjoying music for a while. And then things shut down during the pandemic, and that's when I started like getting back into my own songwriting.
Yeah. What do you think, like, is it just having a lot of time?
Yeah, I think this is sort of what changed a lot of things for me, and it's sort of it might be hokey for some people, but I was tuning into like a Zoom concert that Rivers Cuomo did.
Yeah.
As you do during 2020. And, he was like chatting with people, and someone asked him like what book he was reading at the time. And he mentioned The Artist's Way. Have you heard of that book?
My partner recommended it to me.
I know. I'm always trying to recommend it to my husband.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no. So he mentioned that book, and I was like, I'll check it out. You know, what else am I doing while we're staying home? And like work slowed down a little bit for me as everyone was trying to figure out how to navigate things. And if people were working in the office, like how did they start working from home and all that kind of stuff. So I checked out the book, and the gist of it is it's a book, a 12-week program to help you unblock your creativity. And they just sort of like walk you through different like exercises and different there's a lot of like focus on self-care, which is something that I wasn't doing when I was working a lot. And so I think that one, there's like the self-care aspect that helped me sort of like nurture my my inner artist, if you will. And then the part about like making space and time for other things, like sort of the way how like reading a lot of different things makes you a better writer, or like taking in all these other things makes you, well, probably give you more material to write about. If you're going out to like take a walk in the park, or just like go to the movies by yourself and just sort of like fill the well is the term they use for it. Like you could find inspiration in all these other things. And I think before that, I wasn't really paying any attention to anything outside of work. So that sort of thing helped me like just reframe my thinking a little bit too.
And you're getting out of this like sort of self-flagellating thing where you're going back to your guitar and just being like, oh, I guess it's just like not going to happen ever again.
What was that?
You're not it's stuck in that rut that you were talking about of just like not being able to really write anything and thinking like, well, it's probably over for me.
Right. And it was sort of like a two-part thing. So there was The Artist's Way, and then my friends who were touring who had like all their shows canceled and trying to like find a, you know, some other way to connect with other musicians. Like one of my friends, her name's Lizzie Ellison. She started putting together these songwriting workshops during the pandemic. And so we would like meet on Zoom with a bunch of other people, maybe like 12 people in this workshop. And every week we would meet and share songs that we're working on. And like, she would give us prompts. And so it was just kind of a way to also sort of like get loose and not be too precious with the stuff that you're writing and just develop a practice to like write something every week.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
And I think that was what like stopped me before. It's like every time I tried to write a song, it had to be like good.
It had to be the song that like breaks through the ice or whatever.
Yeah. But then that's not going to happen like the first time all the time. And so like when I try to write, it'd be like, oh, this sucks. And then you just get discouraged. But now I'm so much better at just like any little dumb idea that comes to mind, I'll just like quickly record something in my voice memos. And that's how a lot of the songs in like my last two releases or three releases came to be, which is like I had this idea, put in my voice memos, somewhere in like the hundreds of voice memos that I had, like 10 were good.
And so
I just have much better like frequency and practice with the songwriting.
Do you remember like a song that did stand out and did like maybe put you in a position of like, maybe I should start this thing up again?
I don't know. I guess like a lot of that stuff happened with the first, the EP from 2022. And I think because like ever since those songs came together, everything had just started happening really quickly and still has continued to. In terms of just like, you know, people noticing and supporting the project, which has been really cool and exciting. And just like, sometimes I have to like stop and be like, what the heck is happening?
I mean, for, you know, you released Santa Monica in 2015, and then there's 7 years before the EP. And now we've got an EP, a split, and an LP. It's wild.
But, and I haven't thought about the next thing, thankfully. I'm just like, I need to like chill out for a minute. But yeah, so, and that EP came to be from like, so this culmination of just like extended time getting reconnected with myself during the pandemic, going through the artist's way, doing these songwriting workshops. And then that sort of all led to like, I'm going to take a week off and like go in the mountain, go to the mountains in Asheville and like bring my guitar. And I'm not going to make myself write any songs, but maybe just like, if some songs come out, cool. You know, not being like too, not being too hard on myself with that. And like, so that's where I started writing I'm Not Worried. I started writing, I think it was just I'm Not Worried was like the main song that came out of that one.
Yeah, and but then, that's the fucking hit.
And then when I got home, I continued doing more songwriting workshops, and like coming from that retreat, I wrote Old Starnes Cove Road. And that was, you know, that's literally about the place where I visited in Asheville.
Oh, I love Old Starnes Cove Road.
And like talking about being okay. It's okay to be alone and that kind of thing. And and then all the other songs just sort of like came together. And so, you know, these were all started, or these all started as acoustic voice memos. And then once I felt like they were sort of fleshed out in a good place, still like pretty raw voice memos, I shared it with Mike Park and I was like, hey, what do you think of this?
Just as the voice memos?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was like, sounds great. Talk to Randy. And Randy ended up producing all these records. He's like, talk to Randy, have him start a band with you. And and I was like, okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like, whatever you say. And so, and like at that point, so I got reconnected with Mike Park over the pandemic because with my background in PR, in video games, but also having some extra free time, I wanted to try to help bands with their releases and helping mm-hmm. them with PR. And so I helped Mike with the release for More Family Band's debut mm-hmm. album.
That and being Randy.
That's how I met Randy. Mm-hmm. And so when Mike said to get in touch with Randy, I'd already known him at that point, but we never met in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took it, I mean, like, I think in the past I would have been like, oh, that's crazy. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to do that. Kidding me?
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like what, a lot of the stuff with teens, like leading up to this point, has always been like a let's see what happens kind of thing. I think I'm just like being more open or open to like the things happening around me.
Yeah. You're putting yourself in the places and yeah. just like, oh man, it's, I don't know. I'm getting a lot of just great vibes of the fact that you're like allowing yourself to send things to Mike Park and just like open yourself up to the opportunity.
Yeah, I think in my mind I was more just like I wanted to know what he thought, and like I was just gonna self-release it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so told me to put the band together. I'm like, that's cool.
And yeah. then
I messaged Randy and I was like, hey, Mike Park said we had to do this, so huh? Should we do this? And then yeah, we started demoing out the songs back and forth. Like he was in San Jose and I'm here in Raleigh. And so we're just sending files back and forth through Dropbox. And we got it. Then he introduced me to Henry Chadwick, who he had played with in another band prior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we got together. And like, this is so funny because like Mike Huguenot is my friend. But it hadn't occurred to me to like ask him to be part of it, even yeah. though like I love Shinobu and I love Huguenot's guitar work. And I was talking to Randy about how like Shinobu this, Shinobu that. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, why don't we just have Huguenot record with us too? I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. So we had these demos and then we got into the studio and recorded them. I flew out to San Jose and we recorded at District. And then once we had some mixes, I sent it again to Mike Park and I was like, hey, let me know what you think about this.
Yeah.
And after, he did hesitate for a bit. So I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know if it's like an Asian man or I don't know. Like, I know he's putting out more of a variety of stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
But he did
you weren't sure if it was for him necessarily.
Yeah, but he ended up putting it out and then we put out my split and then we put out my full length. So here we are.
Do you have a moment like flying out there like, what am I doing? Is this
yeah. All the time.
Yeah. I mean even now, like I don't wanna like, you know, pop a balloon on like the fucking crazy and exciting time that you're having right now. But like it, yeah. Do you doubt yourself?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
And, but I think the difference between now and before is that doubt only lasts a little bit of time mm-hmm. now versus like make the decisions for me.
Yeah.
I just sort of like think about it. And I think, for better or for worse, because I'm so tied to this notion of like, well, what else are we doing here? You know, like
yeah.
life is short and, you know, the worst thing that can happen is I'm back at the same place I was. And,
right. You have a lot more time at home.
That's like, So, yeah, I think I'm just like better about sort of like not being so down on things as I used to be.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy. I mean, like, I think there are like natural doubts that come with just like putting anything out there. Not everyone's going to like it or, you know, for me personally, like Teens in Trouble is something that I also started to sort of like be more familiar with my own voice after being in bands where I was like yelling most of the time.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know how to sing before Teens in Trouble. And I have been learning as I've been going and, you know, definitely had some like clubs here and there where it's like, oh, we'll play a live show. And like, maybe it wasn't like perfect or anything like that. And it sucks, but I'm just moving forward.
Dude, I was very impressed by the EP, the vocals on there, because they were mostly like single tracked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, now in hindsight and after like developing my skill set a little bit more, like I realized those songs are so deep.
Yeah.
Like, and now it's like actually harder for me to sing them.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
That like lower range, unless I'm just like, I think it's one of those things where, you know, when I was writing those songs, I was playing alone in my room and sort of quietly.
Yeah, sure.
Where you're like, so it's easier to sort of like sing in a lower voice, but I also thought like, maybe that's my voice. I don't know. And like, I was also like shy about my own singing too. Like, I've always had reservations with my voice, like growing up too. And I think that part of that is like the non-communicative household, but also like, I've definitely had shows in high school where like they weren't great vocally and you just sort of like keep doing
well,
your thing.
It's nobody else's fault, right?
Yeah. So like after putting out the debut EP and then you know, trying to play those songs live and then also trying to compete with like a live band and trying to sing that low is just like not easy at all. So we do a few different things live and it's just like there's more energy in it. And like I'm always like a big fan of playing live anyway. And so I think when we were writing this full length album, I was definitely trying to feel it in real time in the studio where it's like moving along to the drums as they're playing. It's like, okay, we're rocking now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, we're not rocking now. We got to keep working on this.
y'all have made some very, very great videos. is it Aja?
There's two people that I typically work with. One of them's Kyle Broom, and he did the video for Santa Monica.
Yeah.
He also did the video for I'm Not Worried. And
hell
then
yeah.
Asia, who's my best friend since the Sputterdoll days. Like Asia's been doing videos since I was in Sputterdoll. And so I've also seen her grow into like what she does now, where it's like before you'd see like DV cam footage of just like one person in the band. And
right,
like, hey,
right.
Wait, what about us? But no, we've both grown in a lot of different ways. And yeah, so I started working with her for Decomposing. And then she did the video for You Don't Want to Mess With Me. And then she edited the playlist video. And then her and Kyle work together on It's Up to Me. So it was like
that one's my favorite
of the friends. That was so fun. And like,
is that your dog?
I was gonna, oh wait, sorry, which videos?
It's Up to Me.
There's he's in both of the
videos.
He's in I'm Not Worried. So
I'm Not Worried is the space one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you see him for like a split second in It's Up to Me.
Yeah.
He's like in the laundry room.
He's good. He hits his marks.
Yeah.
Talented little boy.
I was actually very impressed. I feel like He's not that good. But with enough treats, he'll do anything.
Yeah. So you did this record again at Districts with Rainey producing, mm-hmm. Ryan Paris engineering, mixing, mastered it too.
Yeah, he also co-produced.
Yeah.
He did a lot of work on that song Sick, which is like the fifth
mm-hmm.
track on the record. And you can definitely hear his influence. He's in a band called The Atom Age that's more like garage.
Yeah.
Punk rock. A
little post-punky.
And, yeah, so
I love
that. He did
that
some really cool stuff
Sick.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wrote some really good singles for this thing. Like, Playlist is such a jam.
Yeah, Playlist turned out real cool. Like, it was sort of like a group effort of, like, I had the sort of, like, basic song and lyrics. And then I was working with my friend Sim Castro. He's in a band called Kitty Cat Fan Club.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He has his own band, the Albert Square. And he kind of made it into this, like, Joy Division-y sort of
mm-hmm.
song or New Order kind of song. And, like, we kept a lot of elements from that. And then Randy, like, turned it into this, like, whatever it is now. And, like, yeah, he there are some good choices that he made on that one where just, like, even from, like, the way I deliver my vocals where I wouldn't have thought of it before.
Mm-hmm.
Where even the chorus where it's like, oh, I want to know what you're listening to is mm-hmm. like, that's a Randy
yeah.
idea there. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. And so fun to sing that way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think overall the song is, I think it resonates deeply with a lot of people and it's just so fun to like jam along to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's a modern mixtape song for sure.
Yeah. And that's where we you know, we started introducing synths in our songs.
Yeah.
And, it just sounds so much more full and dynamic.
How long did you have in the studio to record it?
We had 10 days.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it was real nice because I think we finished everything in like 7 days, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And then so the like last 3 days we were just like playing around, and so
yeah,
a lot of stuff that came together with like
yeah, whistle, I'm not... you got glockenspiel, you got
exactly. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, It's Up to Me. We had this like part where we're like stamping and like clapping,
mm-hmm.
and that was like just during our like fuck around days.
Yeah.
Where, Ryan brought out this like piece of plywood. He's like, trust me, stomp on this. And then we're like, what? And then like after listening back, we're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then also there's the last song, I'm Not Perfect. Randy and I are just like messing around with guitars, and like he had this idea to do dual guitar harmonies in reverse.
Wow.
And so the part where I like right leading up to the chorus, there's sort of like this this big like dual guitar
uh-huh.
thing going on, and if you listen to it closely you hear it's actually playing in reverse.
Oh wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I think my favorite song on the record is What Am I Doing? I love that song. Oh my God. What's that about?
That's about being okay with, or trying to be okay with, not doing anything at all. I mean, like the words are like, I'm just trying to get by.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make the best use of time. So again, it's sort of like going back to my obsession with time and like feeling so overwhelmed by everything that's happening. And for me specifically, it's like I have to do my job, but I also have to like book these shows, and I'm mm-hmm. also trying to like put out this album, and I also, and like at this point now, like I just announced, this was like a few weeks ago, but my friends in Dog Party and I are starting our own record label, and so now we're doing that.
Dude, oh my god.
And yeah, so there's just so much stuff going on, and so there are parts, times where it, you might feel like, well, I can't do anything. Like yeah. I just need to like sit down and be quiet for a while. But then maybe you're like fidgeting. And you're like, I'm wasting all this time.
Oh my god! Like, if I'm on the couch for like 20 minutes, I'm like, yeah. I should be watching a movie. Like,
yeah. And I was like, even now, I mean, like, I'm trying to get better at that kind of thing. Where it's like, why don't I just like block out time to like do absolutely nothing? Uh-huh. That's like my special treat.
Yeah.
You know.
How's but, that like, working? Rinse,
yeah. You know. I, before this, before hopping on here, I was like, okay, I know I need to like, I still want to do my vocal warm-ups today, but I also have to like clean my office and I have to do all this other stuff. So it's like, what if I clean my office while I'm doing vocal warm-ups? Like trying to like find little ways to like do more than one thing. But I think as, you know, over the last few years, especially with the start of the pandemic, I've sort of like had to tell myself that it's okay to like do one thing at a time. And yeah. it's just like so much better to do it that way. And with like, you don't fry your brain. I don't know. I'm just like relaying anecdotally what I've heard, but we're not wired to be multitasking. We're not supposed to be multitasking.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. But everyone needs to do more or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, so what am I doing is sort of like my sort of reaction to that kind of like just how we deal with time and like how we deal with doing nothing with our time. And like, is that okay or is that not okay?
Yeah. Or could it just be?
Yeah, exactly.
From
like, are we wasting time chatting here?
Yeah, nice. Right. No, not this. No way.
Yeah, yeah.
This is content.
Oh wait, yeah, content. Big content machine.
So you got No Earbuds Fest coming up in June.
Yeah,
I feel like you and Jamie are just like so working so well together on this record.
Yeah, I mean, like we're both PR people.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I don't know, maybe she'll listen to this and tell me, but sometimes I feel like I'm annoying her where I'm like, hey, did we do this and this, and uh-huh. like what about this, and like did we think about this? And so I'm like maybe one of her most annoying clients, but I think we've been doing pretty great together.
From one 30 something to another, it's very, 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 very special to see somebody like following their muse and following like being in pursuit of something at this age. So I just want to personally say like, fucking hell yeah, dude. I'm so stoked for you.
Thanks so much. Yeah. I mean, that point in time at like 2017 where I was thinking like, well, maybe that's it. And I don't know, maybe part of it too was like thinking about, well, I'm like in my 30s now and
yeah.
What am I doing? And and like even, you know, sometimes I think about it when I'm like on the road recently and I'm like hanging out with Randy,
yeah.
who's like you know, not 30 yet, but and like coming home to my husband and saying sick. Uh-huh. And he's like, did you pick that up from tour? What's happening to you? But it's all really fun. And like, it just goes to show that that is all just in our heads.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been super fun to chat with you.